message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Let us bow our heads for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Because your word is true, our heart, our minds tonight are opened to be educated, to be taught, to be led and be instructed in righteousness. We receive a word with meekness and we set apart every superfluity of naughtiness. We declare that the truth we're going to hear today, we're going to bear them in heart and we're going to bear forth fruits of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I say a bigger amen?
Amen.
All right, this is 6:15 on the dot. All right, last week we began a new teaching series for the month of January that we tagged Orthodoxy. Somebody say Orthodoxy. Say it louder. So last week we began this teaching series. It's going to be a four-part teaching. And I want to just give you a dictionary meaning of orthodoxy. O-R-T-H-O-D-O-X-Y. Orthodoxy. Alright, so by dictionary definition of orthodoxy, in fact, let me give you from the Wikipedia. Wikipedia says orthodox means adhering to accepted norms and creeds, especially in religion. In Christianity, the term orthodoxy means conforming to the Christian faith as represented in the creeds of the early church. So when we say the Christian faith, therefore, is orthodoxy, what we mean is that there is a traditional set of knowledge, a body of truth and practices. Practices, body of truth, believed, embraced by the early church, passed on to us that must continue. For example, in 2 Timothy 2:2, the Bible says, Paul told Timothy, he says, the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall also pass it on to others. So Paul was looking at three generations of transference of truth. And last week I spoke to you about, we looked at number one, doctrine. We saw how that the early church, all right, they have a doctrine. Doctrine from the Greek called didaskalia. It means a form of teaching, sound faith, a body of truth that we must accept and embrace. Glory to God forevermore. That means, all right, the belief, the body of truth we receive in Christianity, all right, is unchanging. So it is a tradition. I gave you several scriptures. Make sure you get the tape last week message. Alright. Alright. There is a body of truth that we must accept. Alright. And then we must embrace. And then we must pass it on. You see, why was the Bible written? Okay. Many times you hear Jesus say things like, it was written, it was written. All right, John says, I write to you fathers, I write to you young men, I write to you children. Why? Why was it written? You see, even the apostle, listen, the New Testament, what you call the New Testament, is not some new revelation from heaven given to Paul. Paul didn't get new revelation from heaven that was so novel, that never existed before. No, no. All the revelation that Paul presented were simply an exegesis of what is in the hold. I can take you 10 hours on each of them. They were just expounding the concealed truth in the shadows, in the prophecies of the prophets. I told you 7 steps to ensuring and establishing a doctrine last week, right? I told you that every major doctrine, you will see it in a germ form, in a germ form in Genesis, as a seed form. For instance, the doctrine of righteousness, you know from Genesis 15:6, God spoke to Abraham. He said, when he was done speaking with Abraham, scripture says, Abraham believed and it was counted unto him for righteousness. From that moment, we know therefore that the doctrine of righteousness proceeds, that righteousness can only be reckoned to somebody who believed, not by what they do. So when the law comes 420 years afterwards, we know the law has came as a late comer. So therefore, when you see righteousness, therefore, in the law, it's going to be in shadows. So I told you, you're going to see it in seed form in Genesis. You're going to see it in shadows, all right, in the law. You're going to see it in the prophecies of the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and so on and so forth. Come on, talk to me now. And then you're going to see it in the sacred songs of Moses, Asaph, and David. Those are the three major characters in the book of Psalms. Like you have the Messianic Psalm. The bulls of Bashan have gaped around me. You see, he was talking in Psalm 16. He was prophetically speaking about Jesus. In Psalm 22, you're going to see all the things Jesus said on the cross is in Psalm 22. In fact, there is no graphic representation of what happened on that day Jesus was killed. Not even the eyewitness accounts could give vividly like the way Psalms gave it in Psalm 22. My God, why has thou forsaken me? Is in Psalm 22. Every statement Jesus made is in Psalm 22. So when Jesus came in the book of Hebrews 4 verse 11, he says, in the volume of book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. He was quoting Psalms 40 verse 7. The doctrine of righteousness, the doctrine of justification, in, to whom God does not impute iniquity, you see it in Psalm 32 from verse 1 to 2. David says, blessed is the man to whom God imputes no iniquity. You see, so the New Testament is actually, you know, what you call an expounding, an explanation, exegesis of what was hidden in the Old Testament scriptures. So you see it in gem form in Genesis. You see it as a shadow in the law. You will see it in the prophecies of the prophet. Number four, you will see it in the sacred songs of Moses, Asaph, and David in the book of Psalms. That's five, right? Then again, you're going to see it, all right, in the teachings of Jesus as a parabole to throw along. So that means, it's, you know, it's going to be explaining spiritual things with natural things that you can see. Then again, you're going to see it properly exegeted in the epistle. So there's a body of truth. And no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is what? Christ. Praise God forevermore. So today we're looking at another thing. I'm just going to flow in that thing because, you see, this is very important. And I told you, when I teach you in this church, I am treating you like a global citizen. An heavenly citizen with a global mindset. Because you see, not every country in the world is religious. And you can find yourself in places where the gospel is not well represented. And you're going to be having a hard time to live out the gospel and to even retain the things that you have learned, except and only if you've been grounded in it. That's the only thing that will make you unshakable. That's the only thing that's going to make you unshakable. I gave you an example of a friend of mine in the United States, and right now he's just surprised. All our friends in university that were so strong in the faith, all right, they were going on fire for Jesus and all of that. When they got to Europe, they got into all these gigs where they give them thousands of dollars per month. They earn a lot of money. You know, the dream of everybody in the U.S. is to earn a six-figure salary. And the moment they get a six-figure salary, they forget about God. Why? Because when they were in Nigeria, they weren't really learning theology. That's the danger of attending churches or gatherings where, see, God meets needs. Can I have a big amen to that? God meets needs. But it's wrong when every Sunday we attach it to one particular need. From January to December, special Sunday of healing. Next one, special Sunday of feet washing. Next one, special Sunday of breaking forth. Next one, special Sunday of... You see, there is a problem. It attach, pay attention, it attach the sense of need to the gospel. Meanwhile, you are supposed to be the need meter. So now the gospel therefore will put you in the position of the woman with the issue of blood wanting to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Meanwhile, the Pauline revelation puts you in the place of Jesus meeting the needs of the woman with the issue of blood. That's why I told you during the 3 days of glory, I said, if you read through the scripture, there's a theology behind miracles. I've shown you several times in scripture. And Jesus showed this. And he can still do that for babes. So you see, he's going to multiply bread. You guys will come. He's going to multiply bread and feed 5,000. They will come. He's going to multiply bread and feed 7,000. They will come. John 5. Then in John 6, They will come again. This time he will say, no, I'm not giving you no bread. I want you to chase me, not for the bread that I give, but for the bread that I am. So he says, I am the bread come from heaven. So that means the purpose of miracles in the first place is to lure the listener, all right, the recipient of miracles, to the message. Like in John 11, he preached the message there. He says, I am the resurrection and life. That's the message. Then he went on to raise Lazarus. But that's the message. So the idea was to draw the attention to the message. In Act 2, in Act 4, you're going to see the same pattern. In fact, what I want to do to you today is very simple. This teaching series is supposed to take like 3 months if we're going to be taking it weekly. All right? So we might have to do maybe Orthodoxy 1, Orthodoxy 2, Orthodoxy 3. I don't want you to get to Europe where you get to countries like Germany where the government are responsible and you don't have to believe God that you don't have to exercise your faith too much. You know, in Nigeria, even to find bike, you have to walk in faith. All right? To get a good vehicle, you have to believe in, stand in faith. Amen. So I want to train you so that in your 4 years in the university, some of you are students, when you are anywhere, you become a global standard solid Christian. Say a big amen.
Amen.
When nothing is going to shake you. You know the truth for what the truth is. This is very important. The church has to raise strong. We have to raise stronger Christians in our day. And this is very important. So, today, I want to just show you something very simple, then we close. Just a trend. A trend. Open to Act 2:41. I want you to see something. You know, we're looking at orthodoxy, a practice that we saw that was passed on. We see it consistently in the lives of the early church passed on to us that we must also continue with to pass across from generation to generation. In Act 2 verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received, someone say received.
Received
his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, let me tell you, this was the first time that they experienced the things of the Spirit. I have taught you this before when I was teaching on the Holy Spirit. I said, we do not suspend theology for the things of the Spirit. Theology explains and validates the things of the Spirit. For example, now, somebody cannot say, the Spirit is moving him. Then he says, when it is 12 midnight, go naked. Put your hand on your head. Say, my father, boil egg and speak the book of Psalms 32 to it. Now, there's a form of religion, a form of religiosity that will appeal to your religious mindset, but it's still nonsense. Somebody say, but it's working for me. Shut your trap. What do you mean it's working for you? Well, I don't believe in all these things. My only, as far as it's working. That's the problem. That's the problem. So it's a training. We're training you. For instance, Apostle John told us. Now, pay attention to this. Apostle John was talking like a father. You know, church history told us that Apostle John was the only one among the apostles that stayed that long. In fact, he experienced so much miracle that some of the early manuscripts, they address him as John the Divine. Because they put him in boiling oil and he came out unscathed. So the authority, they finally got tired of him and then they abandoned him at the Isthmus of Patmos. That's where he began to write the book of Revelation in his late age. So Apostle John's, after the apostolic so-called apostolic era, he was still behind. He was still around when all other apostles have been killed. Then he wrote. So he wrote last and he warned. He says, little children, he says, don't believe every spirit. He says, but there are so many spirits that have gone into the world. Now he's going to tell you how you will suspect, how you would know the ones that are not the Spirit of God. And he makes a powerful statement. He says, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is come in the flesh is the spirit of an antichrist. Are there some like that today? Who does not believe that God is come in the flesh? And then, so now I'm helping you because I'm trying to help you connect dots. Because, of course, there is such a thing as the son of perdition coming, the Antichrist. But the spirit of Antichrist is actually in the world already. So now, he is about to tell us, maybe we should just go into it. I didn't plan to go into direction. Give me 1 John 4 verse 1. 1 John 4 verse 1. Why is God taking me through this direction? Okay. I'll just flow with the Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 John 4 verse 1. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. All right. Look, as it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. So he tells you to try the spirit. And now you're going to try the spirit. It will tell you now whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. So he's about to tell you how you will prove. How you will test. He says test all spirit. And he's going to tell you how you will know that one that is of God. Look at it. He says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Oh. But I thought you were going to show me how I will test every spirit. I was expecting you to tell me, anyway, if you see him, you know, Bab Galas, then he's not of God. So there was nothing sensual for me to actually prove that it is of God. He tells me any spirit that is confessed that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. In other words, the way you test the spirit is through theology. Because this is the theology of incarnation. Come on. So that means you test the things of the spirit with theology. Now let's go. He now says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now, you can see why you cannot go to the Orientals. You find a job after school in some of the Oriental country, and somebody is trying to persuade you to assume that you and people in other religion are serving the same God. It's a lie. Now, can you say that now? Because a lot of Christians are gullible. After all, even I know some Christians are not even nice like the way that guy is. How I like him. He's not a Christian, no, but you see, all of us are serving the same God. You are, sheesh. You are naive. That something is sensational does not make it truth. Yes, sir. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
So, I just want to show you. Open to 1 John 2. Let me show you. 1 John 2. Because we're talking about Antichrist. Let's look at it. 1 John 2, 22. Look at it. It says, my little children, okay, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Messiah. He has saved us from our sin. Messiah from what? Salvation from sin. Any religion, any body of truth that does not accept Christ as the Messiah, as the one who has come to save us from our sin, he says it is not of God. It's an antichrist. He says, he is antichrist that denied the Father that he is the Son. The word and, you remember? Go to verse 18. Go to verse 18. Look at what he says. He says, little children, it is the last time. Ah, listen, I don't know. Do you read the Bible with your emotion? This is an elderly man talking to children. I thought he was old. He says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 19. Then he began to explain. They went out from horse, blah, 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 blah. Praise God. Go to his second epistle again. 2 John chapter number 1. 2 John chapter number 1 and verse 7. And verse 7. He says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." This is the deceiver and what? An antichrist. You have to understand the fulcrum of Christianity. The death, burial, and resurrection. That's what we looked at last week. You have to understand that this is the centerpiece of our theology. As beautiful as charismatic expression is, they do not validate Christianity. They are actually signs and wonders. What are signs for? Let me ask you, when you are going to a place, what is the work of a signboard? Direction. So, signs and wonders is to direct people to Christ. That's why signs follow us, because we are the light of the world. Come on, talk to me now. But what validates our Christianity is our theology. Our theology. Amen. Our theology, the things we believe about the Christ, that he died for our sins. You see, that's why we call it orthodoxy. See, listen, the same message of the cross is what we're preaching. Apostle Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. Give it to me. I didn't plan to go all this way, but I know this is blessing somebody. Are you getting blessed? Yes, sir. I haven't gone to today's teaching yet anyway. What's that? He says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Let's go to verse 19. He now says, "For it is written, blah, blah, blah." Okay, go to chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. What did he say? He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declare unto you what? The testimony of God." Now, what is the testimony of God? He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except what?" Come on, let's read verse 2 together in unison as loud as possible as you can. Come on, let's go. 3, 2, go. So the crux of the gospel is the cross. The gospel is the crux of the gospel. You know crux? C-R-U-X. X for xenophobia. That means the apex, the entirety of the gospel. He says, "I don't want to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified." So our theology is what validates our body of truth. I mean, that validates our Christianity. This is very important. That's what we shared last week. Amen forevermore. That's just a taster. I hope it blessed somebody. So that you will not be confused. A lot of Christians get confused too easily. And you can see it on social media. A lot of Christians get too confused. Too easily. You are passing by in Wuse. Somebody just came to you and say, "You heard about this night, last night. Tell me." And you're already sweating. Shame on you. That's why, you see, spiritual growth is something you have to make up your mind and say, "Look, I'm deliberate about this thing. I'm deliberate about this thing." You will not be wafted about by every wind of ideology. They are washing feet there now, you are going there. And they are giving them all day, you are going there. Evangelism, you will not come. Even the baby we actually just did, we dedicated last 2 weeks, came for evangelism on Saturday. And he won souls. You think I'm joking? He won souls. But if they say there's one something fire miracle ministry of fire and power and the anointing of porters of channels, you are there. Your face is always on all the and you have become, so you are a bundle of confusion. That's why when any guy comes to me and say, Pastor, the Lord has shown me my wife. You have not heard how to, the first thing, you know, some people, the first thing they heard from God is who their wife is. Well done, Moshe. Now, so. Because, you see, one day I will do a teaching on discernment. I will take time to teach you how to discern. I mean, for example, now, as a lady in this church, it's possible you see, it's not out of place to see me in your dream. Because I'm your teacher and I'm your pastor. So it can be like a similitude. It's even possible you see me in your dream with suit and you're wearing white gown and we are walking down the aisle. Don't forget, dreams are similitude. Are you listening to me? So it's a message, perhaps. Maybe, and let me tell you, if God reaches out to you all through the time when you are sleeping, it means throughout the day you were so busy that God could not reach to you. He has to wait for you to sleep. So in instances like that, it does not mean that I'm your husband. Of course, you know, it is not. In case you've had that dream, it is not. It is not, though. It is not. Someone say it is not.
It is not.
It is not. Praise God. And you see, don't cast fleas. I think we've done a teaching on that, receiving divine guidance. I don't know why. This is not, trust me, I didn't plan to say all this. Don't be like Gideon. God, if it is you speaking to me, let there be water on this wool. And then the guy stepped back and water came. Lord, if it is you, let there be water everywhere, but let this wool be dry. He stepped back, and there was water everywhere. Haven't you read it in the Bible?
Yes,
that's because they were in the old covenant.
Yes,
don't cast fleas. Don't say, God, if you want me to marry him, tomorrow let him wear blue. Don't worry. When you start to run kitty-kitty, start running kata-kata. Oh, he's beating me after 2 years of mine. I don't know. And I hate God. Do I hate God? You didn't hear God. It's not God you heard. Satan heard you and went to whisper it to him. That, see, we're blue today. And you see him say, I know. Shut up, mama. You're on your own. Oh, why you? Don't cast fleas so that you won't be fleeced. Don't cast fleas. Let me be honest with you. More than 60% of the divine guidance you need in life is in the Word. In fact, 70%, I make bold to tell you today as your teacher, 70% of the guidance you want in life is in the Word. So if you pay attention to Bible study, the way you do Sunday service, you know, we do 2 services on Sunday service, everywhere is packed out. Sunday service, Bible study, you'll be seeing like half of the whole church. If you pay attention to Bible study and you learn God's Word, most of the things you are trying to hear God from, just by simple understanding of God's Word, you walk in discernment very easily. And this is tandem to, now I see, I know why the Spirit of God is directing me in the direction. Now, this is tandem to what I actually want to share with you today, but I won't be able to go through them because time is already fast spent. If this is all I said today, is somebody blessed already?
Yes, sir.
There's something orthodoxy about having personal commitment to the hearing, retention, and propagation of the Word. This is true orthodoxy, and you see it in the early church. They gave the Word of God its place. Let's just run through a few things, then we'll go. Act 2:41, where we began. Act 2:41. The Bible says, then they had gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Like I began, I told you, this is Act 2. The first time that they experienced the move of God, people began to speak in tongues. After everybody, the Bible says they were walking, you know, like people thought they were drunk because they were walking haphazardly. They were behaving incoherently and all that. This is the first time this thing will happen, because in those days, only the prophet will prophesy. But now, everybody is prophesying, everybody is giving utterance, everybody, and they were saying things they could not understand. Peter did not stand up and says, now where they look, now you can't understand the mystery of the Spirit. He didn't come to come and bamboozle them. He told them, all you people of Galilee and Samaria, why are you wondering about this? For this is that which was spoken by Prophet Joel, that in the last day, you see, he began to give exegesis. So he uses theology to explain the things of the Spirit. So you don't suspend theology for the things of the Spirit. You explain the things of the Spirit with you. So he began to explain. Even him, Christ has raised up from the dead, as he was also spoken in the book of Psalms. You know, he began to explain the book of Psalms, the book of Samuel, the book of Joel, to explain what happened. He used the whole chapter to explain it. Praise God forevermore. So now, let's go to chapter 2, Act 2 and verse 4. Because I want you to see what happened. In Act 2 verse 4, the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is in conformance with what Christ promised them in Act 1 verse 8. When he says, for ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Somebody say witnesses. Say it again.
Witness.
Say it again.
Witness.
This is orthodoxy. This is a practice in the early church. The Holy Ghost came on them and they became witnesses. Witnesses of the word. The word of God was given its place in the early church. We should in our day too. We should give the word of God the first place in our day. And then, of course, you know what happened. You saw the effect in Acts chapter number 4. Act 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, howbeit many of them which heard... Someone said the word. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about what? 5,000. So the first time the word was preached, they had 3,000. Now again, they preached the same word, they heard it, and they believed, and there was what? 5,000. Oh, praise God forevermore. If this made them successful, it will make us successful in our day too. If we give the word of God its place, we will see increase like never before. We should leave this church by now, we should leave our realm of hundreds. We should be in our thousands already. And see, this thing, let me tell you, have a retail mindset for the gospel. All of you that are here now, about, maybe if I can't count, but I think about 100 here now. If every one of you reaches out to one person per time, we will double this number, true? It's not rocket science. And I don't mean that you must, of all necessity, drop whatever you are doing on Saturday morning. Maybe you have a class. It's okay. However, did you mean to tell me from Monday to Saturday, you have no special day of your time that you are set apart with another person to go on out to witness the gospel to people? If a nursing mother could make it to church for evangelism, you have no excuse. You see, our church in our age, in our youth age, pastors are trying to be user-friendly. They are trying to be seeker-sensitive. They don't preach evangelism anymore. We are losing this thing in our generation. And so let me tell you one thing. I'm talking as a prophet. Look, in the next 15, 20 years, I'm just praying. I pity our generation. Because look, in the next 15, 20 years, whether you like it or not, the fathers in the faith is either they will have gone home to be with the Lord, or they will have taken the back seat of inactive ministry. In the next 20 years, you can't expect that old man, 79 years old man, the boy to still be going for let's go fishing at 99. By then, he will be what? He will be 99. At that 20 years now, you can't expect the like of Kumuyi to still be going all around. I tell myself, in the next 20 years, I can't expect Barack Copeland to still be preaching for 6 hours. So I'm prepping up because I'm getting there. Yes, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
See, I'm trained. This is a school of ministry. Church is a school of ministry. Look, law school makes lawyers. Come on, talk to me.
Yes, sir.
Medical school makes doctors. Are you hearing me? Minister of the gospel makes ministers. I want to make you all ministers. Say a big amen.
Amen.
That's my goal. You must have this retail mindset for the gospel. You should have a small group. You should be preaching. Be a preacher by default. It is orthodoxy. To be a preacher, it's orthodoxy. You should be a preacher on a daily basis. You should have people you are discipling. This is not, you know, it's like we've left these practices to what we call, we now even call them orthodox churches. Equa, all those churches, they are the one we are now calling orthodox churches. And it's because they are retaining those practices. You have a discipler. Those of you from Equa, is that true?
Yes, sir.
They have disciples. They have Sunday school, then the people discipling. That thing is orthodoxy. This is Bible. And we have to practice this thing. Listen, there's nothing biggie as a big girl like preaching the gospel. What do you want to do with your life? And you know, let me tell you something. Look, I'm talking as a prophet. Look, you know, there are two ways people grow up. People enter adulthood two ways. Some people become adults by the natural course of events. They went to nursery school, primary school, secondary school, university, then their parents, all right, after their NYC, some of them, their parents even still send them money during NYC service. And then when they are done, their parents now even find a job for them. Then from there, they now get married, they move from their father's house and start their life. They enter adulthood. Some people, as a teenager, they lose their dad, lose their mom. Or maybe they had a dad and their mom, but their dad and mom does not have financial capacity. So at a teenage life, they started learning to hustle for themselves. So they were forced into adulthood. And I think that's what's going to happen to the Nigerian church. Because I just told you, mention five generals that you know in Nigeria. How old are they? Baba is still going for let's go fishing every year. What is wrong with us? There's a distraction spirit in our age, in this generation. All just distracted. And I do not mean that you should live a life of exclusion where you don't go to school. I didn't say you should go and drop out. Me preaching to you, I finished from school, all right? And the idea of trying to say you have to completely stop doing everything in the world to be useful for the Lord is not true. It's not true. As a student, you can be excellent in the propagation of the gospel and be very productive. WhatsApp group. Look at all means. You have a church where we write devotionals every day. Do you even Christian content? Do you share it on your Facebook, on your WhatsApp? What do you share? How do you? You know, I did a teaching last year. I call it, you know, it check vital signs, that you can look so good, but something is wrong. That's why if you go to the hospital, they will first do it. They will check your vital signs. Some Christians can go 2 days without praying, without preaching the gospel. How will they do you for body? How? How comfortable do you get? We are talking about orthodoxy. And see, look, don't start feeling like, the way pastor is giving us today, hot. Now so, hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. 5,000! 5,000! Do you know how many people were in the world in those days, at that time? To have 5,000 at once, that's the power of the word. Look at chapter 6, verse 2. I want you to see the kind of premium they placed on the word. Alright? The premium they placed on the word. Look at Acts 6, verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should have the word of God, we should leave the word of God and serve tables. It is not reason. Maybe you don't understand King James English. What he's saying is, it doesn't make any logical sense. For us to abandon the ministry of the word for serving tables. He now says, in other words, look at the message translations. So the 12 called a meeting of the disciples. They said, it wouldn't be right for us to abandon our responsibilities for preaching and teaching the word of God to help with the care of the poor. Now, this doesn't make emotional sense. And like I said, we have very sensational generation that cannot discern truth from emotions. You see, today's teaching is quite of a training. You see, I don't want to mention them, all right? You know, some Christians, all they just need to see on Facebook is maybe one man of God that is not even preaching the gospel. To call the best man of God is questionable, but if they see him sharing rice, he's saying, hey, that's what Jesus would do. You see, that's the spirit of Jesus. Shame on you. Because if you found yourself in countries like Germany, you will stop being Christian. Christianity is not the same thing as humanism. Look, the default system of every human is to be human. If you see somebody that is killing the other person, you know that one there's a demonic spirit that is responsible. Naturally, human should be human. So that one is normal. That's not the measure of Christianity. Look, if you share rice, turkey, every day, and you didn't preach the gospel to that person, if that person grows to be 70 years old, your service of sharing rice is in vain, because he will still go to hell. Can't you think? Can't you differentiate? You know, I don't know. A lot of people can't differentiate emotions from... See, truth is objective. It's not subjective to your emotions. Truth is truth. We cannot leave the ministry of the word for serving tables. This is the premium the early church placed to the ministry of the word. They ranked it above every other else. Praise God forevermore. Look at what it says in verse 4. Look at what it says in verse 4. Verse 4. It says, but we will give ourselves. Can we all read verse 4 together, everybody? 3, 2, go. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And look at what happened in verse 7 when they did that. Look at what happened. Can we all read verse 7 together in unison? 3, 2, go. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. Great company of the priests were. They were obedient to the faith. Christianity was called the faith. They were obedient. We will see increase. If we all take our responsibility to preach, if you were preaching to your roommate, that one was preaching to a classmate, that one was preaching to a business person, we'll fill up this place, overflow will begin. Prophecy has been spoken over us. Are we going to put our hands akimbo? That's why I stopped. If you follow me on Facebook, I have reduced the posting of pictures. I'm not even noticed. I don't post pictures for the past several months. Now, I don't post pictures of our Sunday service anymore. I can only do once in a while in our group on WhatsApp. Because, you see, you're having like maybe maximum about 200 people in church, combined service, so 200. And then you put it on Facebook and say, man of God, you are, this is great. And then you see your head will be swallowing a church of over 4 years. You are having 200 in church. You are doing great. Because the enemy of best is good. We should pack out this place. You know, are you listening to me? Second service, third service, fourth service, you know. Let's have good troubles. I want to see them, Pastor Paul, all of them running kitty kitty, kata kata every Sunday. Looking for how they will get extra, you know, is it tapoli you call it? Extra space outside. Let them say, Pastor, there's no chair. Go and get more chairs. They go get chairs. They say, the factory chair is no longer in the factory. Okay, let's go to Lagos. Bring more chairs. Yes. Is that not what Jesus used to teach in parable? He says, go! Compel them. He says, the place is filled. He says, lengthen the curtain. Get more space until my house be filled. He says, they are giving us. He says, go to the highway. Get the meme. Get the alt. Get the depressed. Bring them in that my house may be filled. He says, compel them. The Greek word is anakazo. Compel them. Are you coming to church? I'm not too sure. You must be sure. It's because I've not washed your clothes. Let's wash it now. Yes. Did you get what I'm saying? Yes. Compel them. This is orthodoxy. This orthodox Christianity. Let me show you a similitude in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 3:15. I have to run now. It says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now look at what happens when he feeds with knowledge and understanding. What happens in verse 16? And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land. See, when there is increase in the word, all right, discipleship increases. Disciples increase, beg your pardon. That is the apostolic order. Amen. Yeah. Psalm 68 verse 11. Because you see, when we talk about increase in the word, look up everybody, see after me, say, the spread of the word is our collective responsibility. Say, the spread of the word is our collective responsibility. How you will know you are actually responsible to the Lord is, ask yourself, in the last 1 month, how many people through me has been born again and discipled in the local church? Do personal assessment. In the book of Psalm 68, verse 11, it says, the Lord gave the word. But what? Great was the company of those that what? We have to publish it. Through all media, beg your pardon. Social media, internet, television, radio, all media. We write devotionals. We have tapes. Over 200 tapes has been uploaded on our Telegram. How many times have you shared with somebody before? All the things we are teaching in this church, is it not blessing you? Don't you think someone else should hear it? So what effort are you making? Are you preaching it? Are you sharing the one that is preached? Come on, talk to me. You have to be aggressive. This is, we are talking about orthodoxy. This is what the early church passed on to us. The early church did not pass cog, keyboard, and stainless mic, click lights. That's not what they passed on to us. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They passed devotion, yes, prayer, study, preaching. That's what they passed on to us. We shouldn't do less. We shouldn't. Praise God forevermore. See, even in spite of persecution that the church in the early church experienced, it didn't stop them. Look at Act 8. Let me show you something. Because, you see, I'm trying to instill into you, all right, Act 8 verse 1. I want you to have that mindset of gospel retail. Retail the gospel. Retail it. You know retail?
Yes, sir.
You should have your own small group of some kind that you are bringing. You know, when you are coming to church, some people should be following you like this. That's the way they did in the early church. For example, in Corinth, it was told, you know, theologians told us that about 15,000 people in Corinth, in one church. Maybe it might not sound too big to you because now we have bigger auditoria, all right, in Nigeria, for example, where you have 100,000. But how many people were in the world at that time? In Corinth alone, one church, 15,000, we were told. And that would not happen just because Paul alone preached. Everybody were preaching everywhere. Everybody was preaching. Don't say, I'm not the preaching type. There is no such thing. The responsibility is on everybody. Let us see it on your Facebook, on your WhatsApp. You are talking everywhere you are preaching. You are intelligently even converting normal conversations that you are having to the gospel. You are intelligently engaging people in the gospel, in conversations. Like Archbishop Benson Dawosa says. Says like fire shot in my bones. Jeremiah 20 verse 9. He says, I have made promise I will not preach or speak of his name anymore. He says, but this thing that I heard, his word, he was shot up in my bones like fire and I could not hold it. You must have a commitment. We're talking about orthodoxy. Look at it. In Acts 8 verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 2. Now, don't forget, the apostles were what? Those 11 apostles, right? Then sit down for... That's why in this church, we don't give people deacons yet. Because most churches have done a study. Most churches where they have deacon, they grow tummy. They sit down. I'm deacon XYZ. Then they will have deacon board. Then they'll be dictating for the pastor. You know, in some churches, they can transfer the pastor they like. We don't like what he's preaching. They will write to the headquarters. Not in this ministry. I'm the boss here. In the name of our Lord. Amen. That's why we don't do all those. Did you see Pastor Sandra? Sometimes she will be doing backup for someone else. Pastor. You know what is pastor? That's the highest rank in the local assembly. We serve here as the master served. So the apostles, they were like, they felt, they sat down at Jerusalem. That's why when Paul, they questioned him. When Peter tried it to go to the Gentile, they wanted to, they almost excommunicated him. Because they felt this thing should be esoteric. They were not passing. You see, look at what happened in verse 2. The Bible says, and devout men. Hi-ya. Someone say, devout men. Say, I'm a devout man. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. Then let's go verse 3. What happened? As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing them and women, committed them to prisons. The church was facing self persecution. Verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad everywhere were doing what again? I mean, they fled. That's why, let me tell you, if you are in places, for example, where there is distress and trouble, don't go and say, I will die for the Lord. Let them come. No, your blood is not needed. Jesus has shed his blood. They fled. Did you see they fled? Don't say, they are killing Christians in one state. Me, I will go there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nobody sent you. Oh, why? Oh. If you hear pim, and anywhere you find yourself, do what? Preach. Say loud amen. Amen. Look at it. When the Bible says, when persecution came, what did they do? They were scattered abroad. Went everywhere, but they didn't go there and say, finally, oh God, thank God. When they got there, they still began to preach. Yeah. They began to preach. Yeah. That's the spirit, bro. Yeah. And look at what happened in verse 5. Oh, I love the man Philip. This is a deacon, you know. You didn't know he was a deacon in the early church, Acts 6. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. Then what happened? And the Bible says, and people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and saying the miracles which he did. Miracles followed after when he spoke the word. Verse 7. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. Verse 8. Come on, talk to me. Can we hold it? Verse 8 together, everybody? Joy in the city. See, you are a joy carrier. The message of God on your lips will produce joy. Yeah. You have to listen to this tape, Joy in the City. Part 1 to 5, right? Powerful message. Will bless you tremendously. Joy in the city. Praise God forevermore. And this was the effect of the word of God being preached. Look at verse 14. I'm just showing you, you know, we are not preaching. This is just Bible reading. We have not started, but I won't preach today. Today is just Bible reading. Verse 14. Can you read verse 14? Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that what? What did Samaria receive?
The word of God.
Verse 25. Verse 25. Verse 25. Verse 25. And they, when they had what? Testified and preached what again? Returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in where? Can you see the premium they placed on the word in early church? This is orthodoxy. Don't say, Pastor, you know why I have not preached the gospel? I'm still growing. And you know now, all my friends know me that I'm a bad guy. I just go born again now. Everybody will now say I'm kiniko. And your friends can even tease you. You want to preach to me. You are a bad, no. Listen, it is not, you are not preaching yourself. It is the message that will heal. It is the message that will save, not you. As beautiful as character is, and character and good character is very good. So that you will not make the gospel, be hindered. But it is not your character that will save them. You are not the Holy Ghost. Preach the word. Preach the word. Third person, you say, preach the word. Preach the word. In Acts 12, you know the story of Acts 12 now, when this guy began to threaten the church, Herod. And the church, when they first took the brother of Jesus, killed him, the church were murmuring. They were saying, he's not an apostle. Why didn't he disappear? He did not have the Holy Ghost. They were busy chattering, side talk. But when he took Peter again, their eyes opened. He has taken Peter again. He started taking them one by one. The Bible says they went into their corners and they were praying. They prayed ceaselessly. They were praying, shaking their head. When they later got supernatural intervention and the guy came back, imagine somebody was jailed. They were praying. He came back and knocked on the door. Thank God for people like Rhoda. Rhoda had to go and sneak. Rhoda did not. Immediately Rhoda heard the voice. Peter is here. They say, get out. It's not true. They still kept praying. Someone say, Adura.
Adura.
Praise God forevermore. Then in Act 13, we saw Paul's first missionary journey. He went to preach. Act 13, verse 43. Act 13 verse 43. The Bible says, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. 44. And the next Sabbath, can we all read verse 44? What happened the next 44? Let's go. 3, 2, go. And the next Sabbath day came what? They shut the city down. City was shut down. Imagine if every one of you here now begin to enter one place to the other, two of you, in twos. Don't go alone, in twos. We began to preach. We will turn down curfew upside down.
Yes.
Praise God forevermore. I'm trying to show you that even in the time of persecution, it didn't stop the word. Look at Acts 14, verse 5. The next chapter. You see, I'm only showing you from the book of Acts, right? This is just Bible reading. Acts 14 verse 5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. Look at what happened, verse 6. They were aware of it. That means the apostle got to know about it. And when they got to know about the persecution, did they stay there and say, I will die for the Lord?
I'm a servant of the Lord. I will die for the Lord here.
No, don't die there. We need you alive. It's like the story that I heard about a military general in those days. They were going for war. And then he said, trying to get the morale of the people. He says, are you ready to die for your country?
Ahu.
Are you ready to die for your country?
Ahu.
Then the other one says, are you ready to die for your country?
Yes, I will.
Says, no, don't die for your country. Make others die for their own country. You didn't get it. You didn't get the joke. So you are going for the war. Don't die for your country. Make those you are going against die for their own country. In other words, stay alive. We need you here to preach the gospel. So if you find yourself in a place where maybe, if you hear boom anywhere, travel light, japa. And the moment you enter that place, boom, begin to preach again. The word of God cannot be stopped. For nothing can be done against the truth, but for the truth. Say aloud, amen.
Amen.
Says they were aware of it and they fled. You see, apostles, so what did they do? They japa. All right? There's one Bible I used to see on Instagram, Wafi Bible. Those guys, I don't know how they tell the right time. They will turn everything to broken. I'm sure in this place they will write japa. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth round about it. What did they do again when they got there? They preached the gospel. And you know what happened here now at Lystra? A guy that was impotent in his feet. They saw a miracle there. Praise God. I said, praise God. Let me show you something. Go to Acts 6. I'll show you three scriptures now that you will see how the word of God progressively. Acts 6 verse 7. Acts 6 verse 7. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord increased. Somebody say increased.
Increased.
And the word of God increased. Now, how did they, when they say the word of God increased here, what do they mean? Bible increased. Come on, talk to me. In the book of Acts 16 verse 7, when the Bible says the word of God increased, what increased? The written Bible? Don't forget, at the time, there were no printing press. So when he says the word increased, he's talking about the spoken word, the preached word. That was what increased. The word of God is not going to increase just because you're sharing Bible in the neighborhood, even though that is beautiful. The word of God is going to increase when you preach it. It is the word preached, heard, believed that saves. Come on now. The Bible says, and the word of God increased, and the number of what? The disciples, what happened? Multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Chapter 12, verse 24, what happened? In the book of Acts 12, verse 24, can we hold it together? 3, 2, go. But the word of God grew. Don't forget, this is the same Act 12 when Herod began to kill James, right? Go to chapter 19. This one, Ogapatapata of them. Then be this one. Act 19. And verse 20. Can we all read verse 20 together? 3, 2, go. So mightily grew the word of God. And what? Haya! The word grew, multiplied, grew, and prevailed. Do you know it is possible for us to have a kefi where there is minimal ignorance?
Yes, sir.
Do you know it's possible for us to have a kefi where there is minimal practice of occultism?
Yes, sir.
Do you know it's possible for us to have a kefi where there is minimal practice of witchcraft, wizardry, and there is lesser practice and teaching of wrong doctrine? Do you know it's possible?
Yes, sir.
If we take our word of God and we take it out responsibly, you are belonging to a church where the word of God is taught in simplicity. So why wouldn't you take your part? Let's get it all out. Let it prevail against, in case you don't know, I'm talking in context. Look at the previous verse. Give me verse 18. Look at the previous verse. Come on, give me verse 18. Just, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Look at what happened, verse 19. In verse 19, many of them also which use curious hearts. What did they do? They brought their magic books and they do what? And they burned them before all men. This is the impact of the word. It prevailed over magician, and this is their soothsaying. Prevailed over witchcraft. Prevailed over sickness. Prevailed over poverty. Prevailed over witchcraft. Prevailed over idolatry. Prevailed. The word prevailed in that city of Ephesus. I wish I had time to show you. I think I've done a teaching on this before. Sit, stand, and walk. I showed you how that there was one goddess, Diana, a god of multiple breasts. And oh boy, it's a gory sight. I wish I could tell you, no time today, but you can get that tape. Ephesus was known for such idolatry. People would literally go and get disflowered under that goddess because they call him god of fertility or something. It's one of the great wonders. Do you know what it means to go to? It's one of the great wonders of the world. The temple Artemis with 121 pillars. People, it's one of the people who come from all over the world to come for what they call what do you call that thing? Tourism. And they have professional ashawos there that they have given themselves to the goddess. So tourists all over the world can come and sleep with them. Then people who are virgins too will come and be deflowered. That was the kind of practice in those days in Ephesus. But guess what? When Paul got there, scandal called Shatayagada. Stop saying in this cafe, there are many bad things happening. When you get there, the Bible says, so mightily grew. Stop saying my faculty, there are many guys working like ladies. They are behaving like they are. Preach the word. It will burn that desire. Do you think it's ordinary? It's demonic. I mean, how can a man, two nostrils, two eyes, look at me like this? Me like this. See me. Nothing. See. Like this. And then you are attracted. Or you are, I'm looking attractive to you. And you think it's normal. And stop all this psychology and maybe we'll go and get him to see a counselor. He's a demon. Preach the word. As you preach the word, the spirit we have will now walk on the word. Because you see, the Bible says, as they went preaching, the Holy Ghost was with signs and wonders were coming with them. So, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of confirmation. It confirms the word with signs and wonders. Preach the word. You see these guys, and don't forget, they did not bring them to church to come and start showing. You see, in the spirit world, this is how we used to turn their head. This is the book we used to, the book of Moses. They did not bring them to. You see, it's in Nigeria that we do all those kind of things. Say, how many three in command they've had now? Second in command to devil. They've had like five of them now that I know. There's one Auntie Linda. All the rubbish he was saying is confessing now that he's wrong. Abi, later confess that he's wrong. Why do they always see Nigerian pastors in hell? What do we do? Are we that bad? See, if you wear trouser, if you wear this thing. They have reduced the gospel to. Let me stop with this. Act 20 verse 27. Trust me, this is the last one. Act 20. What's that? People had so many bad shy there. All right, you are good children. Amen. Act 20 verse 27. Now, this was Paul after spending 3 years in Ephesus. Preaching. In verse 27, the Bible says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you what? Verse 28. Take it therefore unto yourself. Now, see, this is apostolic. This is what we call orthodoxy. Alright? He has established church. In 3 years, he has raised leaders. And now he's about to go for another missionary work because this time around he's going to Jerusalem. Of course, God has told him that he should go to Jerusalem. So this time he's going to Jerusalem. And look at the instruction he gave. He told the leaders. He says, take it therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. To do what? To feed the church of God, which he has what? Verse 29. Now says, for I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He's talking in the context of feeding. And what they would like to do is they want to get disciples to themselves. They want to start glorifying themselves in what they call some spooky visions. And I've studied how cultism begins in the church. I've studied it. Most cult Christianity That's how they began. They began with having some special revelation is claimed to have received from some super being. It makes no difference even if you see a super being with big legs wearing sandal. If he does not speak in line with God's word, he's the spirit of Antichrist. Don't forget, the Bible told us that be not deceived, for Satan himself can disguise as what? As angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:44 or 14. So if you are the type that you are always looking for experience, you might head up in the ditch. If you're always looking for experience, you want something to appear to you. You shall want to. What is it? The people that walked with the, I think I'll talk about this one next. People that walked with the incarnate Jesus themselves. Jesus told them, he said, look, it is better for me to go. That means the apostles didn't get a better advantage than you do. Because Jesus said, it is better for me to go, for if I had not go, the Holy Ghost will not come. So Jesus sees his going and the coming of the Holy Ghost as a better advantage. So it wouldn't have made any difference. I mean, excuse me, all the apostles, when Jesus was going to be killed, where would they go to? They all fled. Until the Holy Ghost came on them, that was when they had that boldness to preach. Yes, sir. True? And it is the same Holy Ghost that was in Paul that is in you. He says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. They will be speaking perverse things, eye-sounding jargons. You have to be discerning as a believer. See, look, I make my boast in the Lord. I'm not trying to, look, if you sit down, hear the word, grow in the word, feed on the word. That's why in this church, we do a curriculum system of teaching. We are deliberate. We pick topics every month. We want you to be rounded. It's a deliberate decision. Verse 32. And now, brethren. Now, he was about to leave. Look at what he says. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. And to what? Word of his grace, which is what? Able to build you up and give you what? Among them that are sanctified. Can you say that? So it is orthodoxy that we place premium on the word and commit ourselves to the spread of the same. Make it a personal project. See, let me tell you, what I'm sharing with you, what I'm telling you to do, is not what I have not done. And it's not what I am not doing. I have done and I'm still doing and I will keep doing. Propagating the gospel. And I've been at it for a long time, bro. You cannot be in the same room with me and not be a gospel preacher. It's not possible. You cannot live in the same room with me and not be a prayer. And I make my boast in the Lord. I'm telling you. Everyone that contacted me in my universities, they are all doing ministry. There's an aura I carry. You cannot be close to me. And even if you were as blunt iron as when you were going to fire up. You're going to fire up. But I mean everyone that was close to me in university, they are all preaching the gospel. And I don't mean they are all behind the pulpits. I didn't say they are all pastoring churches. They are all preaching the gospel. Of what use is it if you are alive and you don't propagate the gospel? They are not practicing Orthodox Christianity. Orthodox Christianity gives the word of God its place and it propagates the same. Praise God. I say praise God. Are you committed to the spirit of the gospel? Rise on your feet. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.